Our sermon text this morning is Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. We'll get into that chapter 6 a little bit. We read. We have much to say about this, and it is difficult to explain, because it has become too late to listen. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the beginning principles of God's Word all over again. You have become people who need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is not acquainted with the word of righteousness, because he is still eating it. But solid food is for mature people, who have their senses trained by practice to distinguish between good and evil. Therefore, leaving the beginning discussion of Christ, let us press on toward matters that require greater maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith in God, of the teaching about baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We will do this if God permits. This is the word of the Lord.
This is one of our main books. It's especially for fathers. For fathers, all men, realize we want to know what fathers to be. Someone ought to be. Our baby book tells you something new. That about 4 to 6 months, babies are ready for solid foods, usually. By 12 months, I'm told, at least the book says, that babies like to grab a spoon and help themselves. The advice given is to kind of help them learn to do it. Because eventually mom and dad can be out of the job and they're working because that means little babies are maturing and learning how to compete himself or herself. Same thing goes for God's church. God wants his church to mature and to grow. He doesn't want us to be babies, to never eat properly, with none on solid food. And by that, God is talking not about solid food for the body. He's talking about solid food for faith. And so it is true that God helps his church to become chewing Christians. Christians who chew when he has to give them. Chewing Christians. You might not know if we're assholes or Christians, but actually, we have a lot to learn. There's more for us to learn. Listed off their beginning principles that they would have learned all over again because apparently they had forgotten even the basics, let alone some of the more complicated things that there were. And so it stands to reason that paradoxically in the scriptures, the Bible is so simple and so just like the little children that even they can learn it, believe it, trust in it, have salvation, even the kindest minds and hearts. But at the same time, it's also so complicated that a scholar would spend her whole life studying it and still not learn at all. Isn't that impactful? Isn't that powerful? To think about it in those two extremes, you can have salvation in a very simple way, just that let the children come to me, do not enter them, and you know, heaven belongs to such as little children who have childlike faith. And yet, at the same time, you can never stop growing. You can never stop learning more. My pastor growing up used to say, well, I've read this passage 20 times, and every time I see something new. And that was when he was almost 60. So, it's pretty powerful, isn't it? To open God's Word and know that it's very simple and it's very basic, and yet at the same time, it's so powerful and so complex that there's still more to learn. Not only that, but in a sincere relationship, isn't it natural to want to learn more about that person you love and like? Maybe you have a new friend or a new boyfriend or girlfriend, and you just can't wait for the next conversation to see what that person is going to say, how that person thinks, how that person hears certain things, what are their different moves. That's usually it's natural.
Jackson 5 used to sing a song that sounds like ABC, 1, 2, 3, over me, you and me. And education would be. That was all the love of love. And I think that's very simplistic. If you believe that, that means I'm talking about it. I mean, take a look at it. But honestly, it goes beyond just those basics. There's some beginning principles. And the way that Hebrews uses the word for that is milk. To sin in the church. In a sincere relationship, it's very natural for those of us in the church who want to go beyond the limit. To know more than just the ABCs and the beginning principles. Very important thing. We want to know our Jesus better. We want to become chewing Christians and have this Mary-like urge to sit at his feet and hear what he has to say. That's what chewing Christians do. They don't just drink from the basics. They don't always listen to what's easy and things they agree with, but they find stuff that's a little bit harder. They see doctrines that they can think, and then they chew on it and mull over it. Turn it over and over, not in the mouth, but in their mind. Psalm 119 says this in verse 97 and then 103. The psalm says, "Oh, how I love your laws! I meditate on them all day long. How sweet are your sayings to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." For the psalmist, learning more and more about God wasn't a bitter pill to swallow. But it was like a corrupted bone. Ever see a dog go after a bone? Ever give it a bone? Once your dog's out there, are going to go after that bone and just gnaw it to pieces? You almost have to take it away, because alright, I'm bad enough with that bone. But that's how the psalmist was with scripture. Over and over again, the psalmist wanted to go back and gnaw on and gnaw on until it was gone. That's how God sees his church. In fact, that's not only natural, God wants it to happen. God wants us to grow. In chapter 5, he talks about all those main principles and calls them ABCs and milk. In verse 2, he uses the word foundation. What was the foundation for? Foundation, if it's strong, is part of any building. If you don't have a strong foundation, you're going to have a building that collapses. Okay? He's the whole parable of the man who built his house on sand versus the man who built his house on stone. The house on sand was rocked by the waves, and the wind, by the weather, and it fell. The same thing is true of our faith. When the whole world rumbles by, when the earth moves, when something big happens in our lives, like a trap door, everything underneath us falls and everything is still, we have that foundation. Only we build on the rock, not on the sand. That's our God. He wants us to have a big building. But at the same time, if you have a solid foundation, if you have something strong, you can build on it, aren't you? You can actually put a big solid house there. And you're going to learn more in the analogy. You can go beyond the ABCs. By the way, what are the Christian ABCs? The writer of Hebrews talks about two things, like repenting of dead works. He's talking about sin. Especially the sin that we think is good before God, dead works. We thought they were really alive, really special before God, but really they came from a place of greed or insincerity. Then he talks about repenting about those. Psalmist also talks about baptism and the laying on of hands. This would be a little bit different than the laying on of hands we see in other places. It would be sort of like the prayers that they had at baptismal times. He talks about resurrection. He talks about eternal judgment. So, in other words, we might say there's more Christianity than is baptism, prayers, confirmation, Easter, and Judgment Day. Although very important, there's more than that. There's a lot more. That's the foundation. Now God wants his people to start from the bottom and build the top. That will be how it's, it is how it's going to help you know that. We feel that the devil is allies to sin, death, the world, the sinful flesh. They really want us to be and remain babies. They want us to be malnourished and something. They want us to confidently think we have nothing more to learn. We've heard it all. And if we go to Sunday school for the next 5 Sundays, probably it's going to be stuff that we've heard in the past. But then in times of testing, what we find out is that the devil robs us even of some of those fundamental things. We're nervous. We're on the spot. We're talking to someone who has really said in real life. And because we didn't go back and learn those basic principles again, review them, hit them down, moving on to them, all of a sudden, the devil is winning this conversation with someone who needs to hear God's word and needs to hear through my lips, through what I have to say. We can only see it how the devil sees it. A good example of this is that there's a culture in the world called infantilism. The adults, the ones who behave like babies. These are real people that have done some documentaries on this, maybe you've seen them on TV. People who want to run diapers and care for them a lot. Oh, men and women. People who want to crawl on the cliff. People who want to be pampered. They want their loved ones to lock them in baby box. It's called how ridiculous that is, isn't it? Just so strange to see that. But when the devil sees the Christian not knowing the basics and not building on that foundation, you realize that's what he sees. The devil sees a Christian who's going back to the diapers, going back to the baby bottle, going back to the crib, and not really maturing. Not really chewing on what God has to say. Not really progressing in the faith. And it plays right into his plans. Not only ridiculous, but a threat to our faith. See, if our relationship is like seed on a hard path, there's an embargo there, then the devil has a chance to swoop in and steal that faith right off of a hard path. If our faith is like these short, shriveled roots, then the rest of our lives will eventually wither. If our faith is like being choked out because we have worries and fears through the world around us, that's what's going to happen. We're not going to survive. We're not going to go this life. We might be fine in this life. But we will go the next. St. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. So when I became a man, I put away childish things. So it's easy for the New Testament Hebrews to do that, by the way. It's easy for them to go back to peace. These were first century Jewish people living out of the Roman world, possibly in Rome itself. We don't exactly know who was writing this letter. There have been some pretty good guesses, but nothing was being satisfied if you look at it historically. He writes a little differently than Paul. He might be Apollos or Barnabas or someone else that we see in the New Testament. We really need to know that, but it is important for us to know that the title of the book is Hebrews, and yes, this is the New Testament. Because these are people who knew all about the Old Testament prophecies and promises. They knew about the Old Testament priesthood. They knew about the Old Testament books. They were probably trained and grew up in Leviticus first. We start with Genesis, usually. We talk about Sunday school and all the kids. But Hebrews would start in Leviticus. And they would learn all those laws and all those things. How easy it was for them to go back to that. How easy it was for them to still want to solve their own problems, even if they heard that Jesus came. They knew in a basic way that he had come, and he had lived for them, and he died for their sins. But then, what about all those laws? What about all the priesthood? What about all those promises? They weren't learning how those things would be fulfilled. So they didn't ever really understand Melchizedek and how he differed from the Levitical priesthood. These were things they really needed to know, otherwise, they would want to go right back to B.C., as in before Christ, as in before the ABCs. Just think about that. Christian faith before Christ. Doesn't sound like the same today to me. Just think about that. Christian promises before Christ. So incomplete. Just think about that. Any right with God before or without Christ. It's not only maturity. Absolutely impossible. And we see how faith plays out. Because intentionally not developing is dangerous. Christianity has proved time and time again that if you're not advancing, you're move backwards in your faith. So if you start yourself in real life, what happens? You grow sick, don't you? You grow weary. Eventually, you could die. But then, so often Christians are okay to starve ourselves when it comes to God's Word. Well, the worries and cares of this world happen, and life happens, things get busy. I've got places to go, people to see, I'm a student athlete. I have so many things I have to work on in my own mind. And so often, it's not the one. And we become just like these Hebrews, going back to before Christ. Instead, God wanted to train them in loving the difference between good and evil. If you remember that, I mean, one of the temptations the devil offered them was, if you eat this fruit, the fruit that is forbidden by God to not eat, you're going to be able not to tell the difference between good and evil. And it seemed like such a good thing. Because it wasn't altogether untrue. It was one of those half-truths that the devil tells when he wants to tempt people. That they were no good for evil. And they sure found out what it was like to know evil in a way they had never known before. They couldn't imagine it. But at the same time, now that this world has fallen, it's very difficult to get back in the kingdom of God and be able to tell the difference between what is good and what is evil. It's possible we need God's word to unlock it, and yet so often it's so difficult and so hard to tell what's true and what's wrong. What's the real promise of God and what is the God of conscience? God says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God says, become mature with a stature reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and will near and there are every wind of peace. When people be strict and invent clever ways to lead us astray. Ephesians 4:13-14. So how can we follow the same instructions? First, repent of your dead works. Say you're sorry to God and confess your sins for the time that you coddled and endangered your Christian faith. Second, remember your baptism and all the promises that come along with it. That you are God's growing child. That you are God's beloved child. Third, if you are confirmed, come to the table. Come often. Fourth, build on your foundational beginning principles. Come to Bible class for this offering. Teach some to your youth Bible class. Sunday school. Bring your children to Sunday school. Take part in this church as it offers these great opportunities. And I can tell you that not every church is able to offer the Sunday school program that we have. It builds up, it is secure, it is founded on God's word, and it has everything that our children need to grow. And then it will be so easy to be plucked and carried off. Then we can pick up the full armor of God, unlike the pagan, and battle against the temptations and sufferings of the devil. And then when you're faced with difficult questions, you'll be prepared to answer for all the hopeful reasons that people want you to give the reason for your faith. The case in point, that more than one biblical principle applies. I'm going to use Exodus chapter 1. Remember the Hebrew midwives? When the Egyptians were trying to exterminate the Hebrews by throwing their babies out to the Nile, killing the Hebrew babies, they told the Hebrew midwives, let us know when those children are going to be born so that our soldiers can come and take care of it. Now the Hebrew midwives, needing a mature faith, decided what were they going to do? Were they going to refuse to lie and obey the government? Or were they going to sell out their daughters and sisters and allow the people of the promise to be murdered? Very difficult principles on both sides of the equation. And you can almost see them say, well, I have to obey the government in this instance. But instead, they take the same route that the apostles later on in the New Testament, and they see that as determination to obey God rather than that. And so they said every time they lied to the government, they said, well, you can win their strong, they gave word to the best, and so you missed it. And then those Hebrew babies were preserved. When the Egyptians set up their pyramids. So, that's when we want to be sure we're going on the full principle of life. Another case in point, when God has either commanded or forbidden something. You know the word we use for this? under command or forbidden something? It's called adiaphora. Literally, other things. Things that don't show up in the Bible. Maybe you can list some examples in your mind. Of adiaphora. Things that are neither permitted nor forbidden. A lot of times, Christians see that they say that adiaphora, neither commanded nor forbidden in the Bible. So anything goes. Do whatever you want. And that's the end of the discussion. But really, what your faith understands, now that we call it adiaphora, now that we put that label on, now that we know that it's commanded or forbidden, now we search the scriptures to try to understand, okay, what is wise? What is beneficial? What helps build up the church? And we make educated decisions based on that. So when we call something adiaphora, now we can ensure we grow in our faith and it's a chance for us to take part in what happens. And of course, the quintessential example for true Christians comes from Jesus himself. He was often committed to the human fact that he set aside his divine knowledge. He grew in wisdom and in stature, and then by the time he's 12, we've got Jesus chewing so hard on God's word that he's impressing the teachers of the law and the temple. Later on, when he's following his disciples, he's got so much to explain to them. In fact, one of the disciples says, you knew who I was, basically. Jesus said, you're going to see greater things than that. Jesus was so committed to chewing on God's word that he was still seeking and searching for God's will in his dying breath, proving that those of us who trust in him, every time we believe in God or our Christian faith, we have a Savior who is of all hosts in the world, because he is. Not only that, he can be our example, because like God the Holy, Jesus gave the devil's word. He did so that we might be renewed in our chewing. He chewed and chewed and chewed on what God has to say, so that you and I can chew and chew and chew